Welcome to the Space Show, Maggie.
Thank you very much. Well, this second part of the exhibition shows artists responding to the ideas of science and space and sci-fi. So we've had all the NASA photographs on one side of the room, and then facing them are these artist responses, and drawn mainly from the 1960s and 70s as well. I was really interested in the ideas of the ways in which space have inspired so many people to think about their place in the universe, and questioning the big questions of the unknowns of space. Space seems to be this place in which people can project their fantasies and desires and fears and whatnot. And so the photographs in this part all look at those ideas. The first artist is George Pollock, who's a British artist. And in the 1960s, he started this project where he would photograph through thick pieces of glass that were lit by coloured lights. And they create these very abstract and ephemeral and ethereal images of exploding forms and cosmic shapes. And they really resemble some of the imagery that you would expect to see out in space. They look quite similar to some of the later Skylab images, I think, of solar flares and things like that. And George Pollock was very interested in science fiction literature. He read a lot of those early sci-fi writers and was also interested in the art of abstract expressionism as well. So he would combine a lot of these interests in his photographs.
Rejoice and Visitation.
Yes, these are actually slightly later photographs, Ronnie Van Hoot, and they're created in the 1990s, but I included them because they have this fantastic aesthetic of the 1950s and 60s, and the images themselves are dioramas of landscapes which almost resemble these lunar landscape scenes. There's these strange, dusty, mountainous scenes. And then in the foreground are these two words, rejoice and visitation. And the words are sort of hovering and glowing. And Ronnie was quite interested in that narrative stories of the 1950s B-grade sci-fi films, and the way in which, you know, you'd have these great storylines of alien visitation or encountering extraterrestrial life, and was interested in recreating that in his photographs. They also have quite a mystical feel, of almost a religious connotation with some of them.
And the radio telescope at Parkes.
Yes, I've got a photograph of the radio telescope, which was taken by Olive Cotton in 1964. And alongside it then are two artist responses to the importance of the radio telescope. The Parkes dish, of course, is very famous and very important in Australia's cultural and scientific history, as it was one part of a network of antennas that was used to transmit and track images from the Apollo 11 moon landing, as recreated in the film The Dish. But this photograph is just a wonderful view that looks up to the side of the dish itself and sort of exaggerates the grandeur of the function of the dish. The radio telescope was such an important tool in astronomy, allowing astronomers to see far deeper into the universe than they ever had before, and that really inspired a lot of artists.
And it's transparent.
It is. I believe, though, that in later years, extra material was added on. Is that correct? You might know more than me.
Yeah, it's covered initially in a wire mesh because the wire mesh actually reflects radio waves just as well as a solid surface. And, of course, it's a heck of a lot lighter.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Well, the next images next to that photograph of the dish are taken by Raymond de Berkel, another Australian photographer. And what he's done is overlaid images of that wire mesh of the dish that you were just talking about with then these quite futuristic images of both his face and also an image of a technician working on the dish. And he was very interested in this idea of communicating beyond Earth. And the radio telescope was this perfect symbol of the attempt of reaching out into space. And he was very keen on bringing that into an artistic realm of that greater concern. Also in the background of the image Spaceman, you'll see the sort of dome structure of the Atomium, which was a structure built in Brussels for the World Fair of, I think it was 1959. And it was a very important symbol too of the space age.
We were just about 2 years after or so after the launch of Sputnik.
That's right. And the Atomium was actually supposed to represent an iron crystal magnified 165 billion times. So fantastic that the artist has overlaid that with the actual realities of science, which was the radio telescope dish.
Hence the name Atom.
Yes.
Atomium.
Yeah, clever play on words.
Yes. And a very similar photo here, but quite eerie in a way.
It is. It shows the face of the artist, Raymond de Becquerel, and this time he's actually overlaid his own face with the wire mesh of the radio telescope. Again, it was about communicating with extraterrestrials or people out there. The title of the work is Where Do You Come From, Planet Earth? Self-Portrait with Radio Telescope. And it was created in 1968, and interesting to see these artists who were so involved with the ideas of science and space, but before the moon landing actually happened.
Okay, and a little bit more, what would you call this? Abstract.
Abstract. They are. We've got three photograms by the artist John Wilkins, and these works are created by pouring various forms of liquid onto negatives, which are then blown up and enlarged and printed. They have these fantastic titles like The Wedge and Alien Icicle and Cell. And again, similar to the works of George Pollock, they have this very strong aesthetic that resembles ideas of outer space and space nebulae, things like that. They were also created in the mid to late 60s, and John Wilkins has described that he was trying to create in photographs the ideas of the LSD trips that were being projected mm-hmm. onto nightclub walls in the 1960s and 70s. And it was that whole idea that was really quite linked into some of the space and sci-fi stories, which was this idea of taking you into additional dimensions and into extra worlds. And Susan Faraday, again, Susan Faraday has also created photographs which are inspired in some ways by space, but in this time it's the idea of UFO sightings, quite a common interest back on Earth of trying to see what's up there and out there. And she's created these photographs which look like quite abstract views of the moon and various space forms by photographing the background details of glossy magazines mm-hmm. and then blowing them up to a scale that they sort of look like things we might recognise in space, but we're left questioning.
Okay. The last photo here looks like the moon, in fact.
Yeah, that's right. It's not, though. That's the tricky thing with Susan's work. It's supposed to resemble the moon, but it's actually just a smaller detail that she's abstracted and made to resemble a scientific photograph.
So in this exhibition, I see then you've been able to combine the reality, as it were, of the NASA photos with local artists.
Yeah, I was really keen to look at the ways in which NASA have had, and a lot of the space movements have had this great influence on photographers in particular. I think photography is a really interesting medium because it's all about using light to create images. And that's such a fundamental concern of astronomy and space photography, of course, because so much of our knowledge of the universe is carried through light. So it's an interesting sort of parallel idea, and great to be able to find all of these works in the collection that showed artists responding to those ideas.
Well, thanks, Maggie, for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you so much for having me.